from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
I think it's been a steady progression with Coach Van Pelt and Coach McAdoo, T.C. McCartney, the quarterback coach, and obviously Jacoby Brissett and Zappe and Milton are helping those guys out a lot. But it's been really fun to see the progression that he's done, and you know the fruition there was two scoring drives and the touchdown.
That was Elliot Wolf. With, I think, Ernie Bach's band backing him there, the Automatics. That's what it sounded like right at the end. They just started playing him off.
Milton are helping those guys out a lot. But it's been really fun to see the progression that he's done. And,
like, wrap it up, Elliot.
The progression there was the two scoring drives and the touchdown.
I like that little clip there. I like that they got Wolf in the booth with them. You think about it, it's like Bill was the GM. He never, ever talked about anything like that, never from a GM perspective. He talked and, you know, answered questions about coaching the game and, you know, things with the game, but it was...
Technically, if you asked him about special teams, sure.
Oh, he'd go on and on, sure. And we all remember the Bill experience, but it's just, it was weird to have the GM up there talking about GM moves that were being made. You know, it's just, that was an unusual thing. And I thought it was refreshing. And I liked that Wolf was out there being candid, riding high off the Matthew Judon trade, which he should be feeling good about, getting a third round pick. We just found out today, Mega, you just put this in Slack. Mm-hmm. The Patriots were asking for more than a third.
As they should. That's probably how they landed on a third, was that, you know, you ask high and then you meet in the middle.
Phil Perry.
That's how negotiations work, right? You go in and
that's what you do, yeah.
You either lowball or highball and you meet in the middle. That's why I get very uncomfortable with them. I am a terrible negotiator. It
really
makes me so uncomfortable.
It's a good thing to say out loud.
I know I am. No, I do it, but I have to force myself to do it. I have to, like, hype myself up.
Phil Perry got the report. The Patriots are asking for a second round pick for Matthew Judon. They received third round pick offers from the Falcons and the Bears. That does shed a little bit of light into how this all went down, because asking for a second round pick, I'd imagine there were teams very reluctant to do that. That's probably when Judon had his big blow up on the sideline. They said, all right, we're going to get this guy out of here. Let's go and ask for a second round pick. No one wanted to give it to him. They probably knew that. They had to wait it out. Wolf was patient, and I appreciate the patience. I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't know that Bill Belichick would have waited for the market to come down to a third round pick. I think that if he'd blown up on the sideline like that,
who cares? It's two sixes.
He would have been like, get out of here. I don't care what we get back. You know, like you're not gonna show me up on the sideline.
See,
like,
I actually
get the bleep out of here.
Quite different. I think you would have I think you would have paid him again to start the season. I know technically.
You think Belichick would have paid him?
Yes, I do. I think Belichick loved Matthew Judon. I think Belichick, the way that he schemed up that defense was to reward what Matthew Judon did well. And I think that he wanted Matthew Judon here. Yes.
He did give him a pay bump last year.
Yeah.
And it didn't end up getting much ROI. I mean, that's, you know, it's just the way it was.
I think he would have gotten that deal done in, I don't know, March.
You think so?
I don't think he would have extended him.
If Matthew Judon was a
him.
Receiver, no chance it happens. But for a defensive player, I think there's more
could
credence
be.
To it.
That's fair. Anyway.
Especially then he can point to him as like the he and Hunter Henry are the great success stories if Hunter Henry remained here of that 2021 debacle.
Yeah, and also Judon may not have been so demonstrative if it was still Bill Belichick there. He might not have made
I'm
such a big
don't
deal.
Even get to that point.
On the sideline, sure. I'm just, you know, in lieu of that, I think that that sort of would sped this all up, and I don't think that if it was Bill in that scenario, maybe he would have paid him beforehand. It's all a moot point, but like in that scenario, you blow up like that on the sideline Bill Belichick's practice, and you're out of here, and they don't care what they get back. So I appreciate that Wolf was patient there. And I like what he was saying here about Drake May as well. As, you know, you're talking about a roster here that he put together to try and help this kid. And, you know, it's all the rookies on the offense there, the offensive line, the wide receivers. I think Ramondre Stevenson in the running game have not really shown me much so far, considering that Jerod Mayo has said a couple of times now that it's going to be a run-first team. What do you think so far of the roster around Drake May, Mega?
Well, it's hard to say because I was actually just looking at a couple roster projections before I came in today. Now that those are starting to roll out in a real way, we have complained about the receiver room in particular being at the best like a bunch of twos and threes. That feels generous for this. And I don't want to sit here and say that Baker isn't going to develop into somebody great, but he does feel like he has boom or bust potential. Polk and Pop Douglas, I feel very strongly about. Mm-hmm. I think those two guys are going to be good this year. If Kendrick Bourne can get off PUP at some point early in the season and is able to, or that he can get out there and be okay, then I think you're all right with the receivers. The offensive line is such a problem. And I look at it, and I was even just looking today into who you could go out and get. And There's a former Chiefs tackle who's an unrestricted free agent in Donovan Smith, but the rap on him is that he just has a ridiculous amount of penalties. He just, like, can't focus on the little details in the game, so I don't know how much that helps you. I don't even know if that's something where they would be seriously looking at adding to the offensive line, but I don't think that there's much you can do to make it worse at this point.
Yeah, I think you're at a point now where anything could help, and there's still some really distant possibilities, but possibilities. I mean, there's some names out there. You just mentioned some of them. You know, Bakhtiari is another one. Like, there's
right, but again, Bakhtiari, like the injury history there.
It's bad.
Know.
Sure.
No, there's a reason these guys are not signed right now.
Right, but you're also desperate. You know, like you're in a desperate situation. It's no one wanted Matthew Judon until they got desperate at the end of the year here. I think that the Patriots would have thought moving on from him is something they would have been just assumed to earlier on before it got to this point in the locker room. But, you know, now that we're close to the start of the season, you're seeing what your roster is. Teams around the league are seeing that, and they're getting a little bit more desperate maybe than they were before. Do the Patriots even have that sense of desperation? Do they think, oh my God, we're just a tackle away from what? Like, you know, what am I spending money on? What am I going to go out there and get a tackle and take some risk on an injury-prone tackle and spend money on that when we're not even really trying to compete this year?
Well, they have so much money left to spend. So that's like not even part of the equation to me. But if you were to somehow swing a big trade for a tackle who actually was an investment piece or somebody that you'd have to spend big money on, I don't know who that would be. I'm not shooting for somebody like Trent Williams, but somebody who's a starting tackle in the league. Those guys don't usually shake free, especially at this point in the season when you're trying to figure out your offenses with weeks leading up to the first game. But that's the kind of investment, first of all, that I've been begging them to make for years, as I feel like I say every day, but the kind of investment that will really, really fast track your young quarterback if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. We have a little bit of Red Sox breaking news here. I don't know if this is sounder worthy or not, but what do you think, Ryan?
It's not.
I think I can guess what it is.
Red Sox are designating Dom Smith for assignment, the Dominator.
That makes me kind of sad.
Getting DFA'd.
Is that dumb? I know Cassis coming back is a good thing. Dumb.
It's pretty dumb.
I've really liked the Dom Smith experience.
I enjoyed it for the month of July. He hasn't been great much here in August. He hasn't done much for
you there. Dom Smith moments.
There were some big Dom Smith moments. You know, there were some big moments down the stretch
in
some of these games.
I don't like Dom Smith.
Tristan Cassis is back. I mean, this is just naturally something like this was going to happen. People have been talking about it all day. You know, what's the move going to be? Well, it's probably going to be something with Dom Smith. He's getting DFA'd. We'll see. That doesn't mean he's gone necessarily. Reese McGuire he's on the Worcester team right now. So, you know, they could find something for him, or some other team could put in a claim and grab him.
By the way,
I could see that happening too.
Reese McGuire gave an interview to Mass Live a couple days ago where he was like, I'm sorry. He was like, I opened it because it said like McGuire trade cut or McGuire DFA.
She has a Google alert for Reese McGuire news.
And, you know, the incoming trade cut the clubhouse by surprise. Mm-hmm. And it was all quotes from Reese McGuire talking to Mass Live saying like, yeah, I think the whole clubhouse was distraught.
Don't ask them about it. Don't ask them.
The whole clubhouse was caught off guard. The writing was on the wall once I got DFA'd, but wow, I don't think any of us saw that coming. And it's Reese, you're talking about yourself.
Yeah, and also they can read the box score, you know? It's not like you were killing it this year. And again, not to rip on the guy.
I mean,
DFA'd.
The guys in the clubhouse are talking about how much they miss Reese McGuire, and then yeah. I was like, no, it was Reese McGuire and Worcester talking about the issues of Reese McGuire.
Many people are saying.
Those guys are devastated, but don't ask them about it.
Designation of assignment of Reese McGuire was the most...
Meanwhile, Reese McGuire
turned our world upside down.
I just picture he's over in Worcester surrounded by guys who are like trying to work their ways up, and he's like, I don't belong here.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, somebody's got to get me out of here.
Probably feels that way. 617-779-7937. I'd like to address something that was we've been getting a lot of reaction to here. A post that we had from yesterday as we were discussing how much or how little Drake May was going to play in the game last night. And this is a topic that I think a lot of people were interested in. And the crux of the topic, which is how I can tell that most of the people commenting didn't actually listen to the clip, but the crux of the topic was if May doesn't play in that game last night, and this was before we heard from Tommy Curran, it was before Breer had his report about, you know, he's going to play the second and third quarter, we were sort of discussing how much or how little he was going to play. And the crux of it was, if Drake May doesn't play in preseason week two, after only getting one series in preseason week one, then what is that signaling to the fan base, to Drake May, to the coaches, to ownership, to everyone? If you won't even give him backup reps, which is what you do in preseason week two, the backup plays, that's how it's supposed to go. And if this was hypothetical, obviously, we didn't know how much he was going to play yet. He hadn't played the game yet. But if that's the case, if you're going to go and bury him in the preseason and not give him any reps out there under the lights, then what is that signaling to you? And I think that most fans, if that had happened last night, fans would have been booing. There would have been people walking out. Like, if they didn't play Drake May at all and they just went from Jacoby Brissett to Joe Milton to Bailey Zappe and only gave him like a series or not even that, which was the hypothetical we were discussing there, you fans would have been ripped. You would have been ripped. You would have been saying, what are you doing? Why don't you believe in this guy? Why are you giving up on him so much? And I agree. I think that that's what that would have signaled if they had done that, which they didn't. And that sort of came back as, well, you know, they've given up on Drake May. If he didn't play in that game last night, I think that's, I stand by this today. I think that's what that would have signaled. If they had buried him again in the second preseason game and didn't give him backup reps, the third overall pick in the draft, then I think that would have signaled something that we didn't get, thank God. But that's what that was. And a lot of people took it a very different way. Very, very different. Very angry, mad at us, mad at me. It was funny. You could tell a lot of people didn't listen to it because a lot of the comments, even though it was me doing all the talking, were directed at Jones. That's how you know.
Did I catch any strays? I got to be honest.
I think there's a couple there. I don't even know if you talked in that clip. Yeah.
I'm not looking in the mentions. Thanks a lot, Jones.
Not sure you even spoke in that clip. But yes, there were some people mad at you too.
The one glance that I saw of it, I was just smiling like an idiot. Like, I think I won my small claims court case this morning.
Let me just say, anybody out there that still feels the need to dunk on that clay, you know, dunk on me for the clip or whatever, it was me, first of all. I'm the one who said it. I stand by it. I stand by, if they had not played May last night, we'd be doing a totally different show right now. The show we'd be doing right now would be much, much
well,
different
you were playing
if he did not
you
play.
You were playing out a hypothetical.
Right.
And luckily it didn't happen.
Cap.
And we don't have to worry about that. Jones, please, can you let me finish a sentence? I'm
wow!
so tired of this.
Even in absentia, he cannot. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and get to your phone calls right after Ryan Garvin tells you what's trending.
Get in on the discussion.
All topics we've covered here in the first hour
Longer
and a half
guys.
Plus.
Yes. What is the singles scene like?
Well, women lowering their standards. All these things that we've discussed.
Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Gerard, what did you see from your offensive line tonight?
There were definitely some ups and some downs. I would say there's a dramatic drop off, not really physically, but just knowing what to do between the first line and the second and third guys. They have to get better as a whole, as a unit. They just have to get better, and that comes through playing football games. So we have another preseason game coming up. We're going to play, and that's the only way you're going to get better at football is playing football.
Gerard Mayo discussing the offensive line. As Mego put it, not much to write home about, and not much help coming on the way either. It's not like the cavalry's getting called in. It's not like there's some big injury and then, you know, your main guy is going to be back and it's just a temporary thing. Like, this is what we're looking at. You know, you are what you are. You plant corn and corn grows out of the ground. That's what happens here, and that's what we're seeing. I think with the roster that we just discussed, offensive line, you know, some highs and lows on the defense. If you, like me, want to see more of Drake May, the one thing that's got to be in the back of everyone's mind is I want to see him, but I don't want him to get killed out there. I don't want to see him get destroyed. And he got sacked a couple times. He got hit once on the scramble. He got sacked towards the end of his third quarter there. And, you know, took that hit on the screen. I mean, he was getting knocked around a little bit. It is football. You know, it's a contact sport. But is this a situation now where as much as you want to see Drake May, you know that it's not smart to put him out there?
That, I don't think we're there yet. Look, somebody has to play quarterback.
Right.
And if you're just sacrificing Jacoby Brissett to the offensive line's weaknesses, it's not going to get you very far because Jacoby Brissett himself, he's not a hyper-mobile quarterback, and it's not as though when he's been a starter, he's always been the most available guy. So it's like, you can't just not play Drake May because you're afraid that he's going to get his head knocked off, because then you're just going to be trotting out Jacoby Brissett, and that'll happen to him, and eventually you got to go to Drake May anyway.
So you don't think that there's any way that May can beat out Brissett here? You don't think, unless Brissett gets injured, you don't think that this competition is really a competition? It's going to be Jacoby no matter what?
I just don't think it's a good faith competition. And by that I mean, I think if May looks marginally better than Jacoby Brissett, they're going to keep rolling with Jacoby Brissett because of whatever development plan they have for Drake May.
Right.
I wonder how much Drake May surprised his own coaches last night. And we don't know a lot about Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo and the rest of this offensive staff and the way that they want to go about handling quarterbacks or the way that they deal with that entire room and what they, you know, the only signs that we've really gotten towards that have been from Elliott Wolf talking about the Packers way.
Right.
And we know what that is. And that's an extreme in the other direction from what I think a lot of people actually want to watch this season.
I think that there's got to be some sort of line of demarcation. I don't know what it is, but I think there has
to be, you guess it is,
some kind of line. And I think that would be, depending on how much they play, I mean, there's one more preseason game to go here. They're not doing another joint practice, so it's really just going to come down to, you know, practice reps and things like that. I'm not sure how much either one of them are going to play in preseason week three. Week three could just be all Milton and Zappy, for all I know. But if it is,
that'd be a waste.
It would be, but I mean, that's generally what they do. That's generally how the third week goes. You know, you get the guys out there, you get the third guy or the backup.
Yeah, but you generally don't put out a guy for one series in preseason week one.
That's true. That's true. They're not following any sort of real code here. You could even make the argument, well, if we don't see Drake May, maybe that does mean that he's now the QB1 because they're not going to play him in week three. So it's hard to really know that. I mean, they have their plan. Gerard Mayo's pretty transparent about these things, so I don't think he's going to play that whole game Bill used to play about, you know, reps and all that stuff, and we're not going to announce anything or tell you anything until the very last minute. I think you'll get an idea of where they're going, and I think we have an idea of that right now. The line of demarcation for me would be another appearance in an actual game, like May plays in the game and looks as good or if not better than he did in this game last night. And if you can do that, then I think that for me, that's my line of demarcation. I don't know if that's going to be good enough for Gerard Mayo and Van Pelt and, you know, everybody else, but that would be it for me. If you go out there and you can build off of that and be better than that, you're already better than Brissett, I think.
He should look better in the next game. If he plays in the preseason game against Washington, that's an organization that is a lot worse off than Philadelphia. I don't know what they'd be doing on the other side in terms of them playing their starters or sitting as many guys as Philadelphia did. Whatever. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a repeat and it's Jacoby Brissett only gets a couple series, if that. And then Drake May gets a lot more time and looks similar to the way that he did tonight. That's how it's supposed to go. Like, that's what they should be hoping for. I just think that they have their plan, and that if anything, this is like a surprise compared to what Drake May was showing them in 11s during practice when he's taking sack after sack after sack. That's just not what they saw in the game yesterday.
Yeah, it's not. The whole thing is reminiscent, sort of Mac Jones and Cam Newton. There is some similarities there, I think, in terms of the rookie quarterback and the veteran. I think there was more expected from Cam Newton than there is from Jacoby Brissett here, but it was also 1 year into the Cam Newton experience, and we all saw that and didn't think much of it.
I disagree.
You don't think anybody expected Newton to bounce back a little bit? I don't know. It was the COVID year.
No.
I thought there was maybe a little something there.
I mean, as I remember it, we were like, I know I was like, how are they bringing him back? Like, he's so washed. He's so washed, he can't play anymore. He can't throw. His mechanics were such a mess that he looked like he was hurt half the time when he was trying to throw the football. So at the time, I remember just thinking, what is the plan here? Are they going to do some kind of stupid, I don't know, like platoon with the quarterbacks? Because I didn't think that they were going to start Mac Jones week one, and then they did, and it was a big surprise to a lot of people, including myself. I don't think those situations have that much to do with each other, though.
I think if May starts, it's going to be a bit. If he starts week one, it'll be a bigger surprise than Mac Jones starting week
one. Yeah, I agree with that.
And I know that Newton got cut, but like still, you know, like that would be, that was surprising when that happened, because up until then, up until like the very last practice, Newton was getting reps with the ones. And then all of a sudden, it was almost like there was an intervention, and they were all like, Bill, come on. Like, this guy stinks. Like, we all care about you. We all think that you're a great guy and everything. But this Cam Newton thing, like, we gotta intervene here. We got to stop you with this, because this has gone too far.
It was that Rams game at the end of 2020 where, the questions became louder and louder, and Bill was insistent that Cam Newton is the starter going forward, and that's not going to change.
Well, yeah, because it was like, you can't even have Stidham start a game, and it's not because anybody thought that Stidham was good, except for Diane Rossini, but because they were just sick of seeing Cam Newton. I just don't think these two situations are as alike as people want to paint them out to be. I understand it's like you have a veteran quarterback who doesn't really seem to be quite starting caliber, maybe like very, very low end of starters in the
Percent
league.
Was never Cam Newton in his career.
And you have a very high draft pick. So in those two things, that's similar. I think Drake and Mac are totally different types of quarterbacks.
That's true. I agree with that.
Mac Jones comes in with a high floor and high processing ability, and Josh McDaniels took a shine to him right away. Josh McDaniels also made him like attached to his hip. It was inviting him over for dinner at his family home and everything, like really shepherding him through the whole process. I don't know what they're doing with Drake May, but it seems like for, you know, whatever you saw last night, that Drake has been really just a footnote to a lot of, I wouldn't say a footnote, okay, he's been very secondary to a lot of the starting operations that they've been doing.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that, you know, it's not exactly one-to-one, but in the sense of having a rookie quarterback, having a veteran, having them sort of battle it out, and then, you know, have it seem like it's going a certain way, and then at the very end kind of veer off, which is what we're all hoping happens here, right? Like, we all hope at the end of this, maybe not all of us, but most of us hope at the end of this, that Gerard Mayo sort of wakes up and says, you know what? It's crazy not to go with Drake May. It's crazy to go
with
Brissett.
You're saying week one?
Yeah, week one. I think that's what everyone wants. You don't think people want that?
I don't know. I can't.
Do you want that?
I like, as somebody talking to the quarterback every week and watching the football game.
Which I know you're not, but like, if you were a Patriots fan.
As somebody watching it, yes, I do want it. I'm way more interested in that. Like 1,000 times more interested in watching Drake May. Absolutely. But does that mean, like, can I react so strongly to the performance last night that I say he's earned the week one starting job? I don't think so.
I think he's earned reps with the ones this
week. Yes.
That's why he 100%
earned
that.
He's earned a real competition.
Yes.
And I don't think they're in a real competition right now. I think it's Drake May competing against the expectations and the timeline and the process that the coaches have for him, which seems to be, he's really raw. He's a project. We've just gotten the footwork together. Let's now move on to the next thing.
All right. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go out to the great city of Springfield and talk to Dave. Hey, Dave.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing well. Hey, I just want to make it kind of brief. We're getting hung up on semantics here. Mm-hmm. You've got Drake May. Everybody wanted this kid. So many people wanted to see him in the Patriot uniform, and now we're debating whether he should start week one, how many reps is he going to get, him versus Jacoby Brissett. We already know Jacoby Brissett is NFL ready. He's done there. He's been there, done that. shouldn't we be grooming the new kid to take that role on and giving him every opportunity? He's going to get banged up. He's going to get hit. We saw him get hit a few times the other night. It's part of the NFL. This is the big leagues. He's got to learn the role. And we can't do that by benching him and making a pseudo competition between him and Brissett.
Yeah, Dave, I'm with you. I think that, I mean, I honestly think they should just fast track him to starting at week one. But I'm with you in the sense that if you don't give him the reps, there's no way to know what you're looking at.
To play devil's advocate, could I sell Patriots fans on maybe week two? Maybe just the idea of the opening day starter for the Patriots. It's a lot for this organization to handle right now. And I think we kind of have an idea of what it's going to look like. Jacoby Brissett will go out there, probably go 12 of 19, maybe have one touchdown, one that interception, good, huh? and get, they're going to lose the game. And Patriots fans are going to go, I don't want to sit through this for 16 more weeks. So maybe it doesn't turn into week one, but could I sell you guys on, okay, fine, now we know what it looks like with Jacoby Brissett. Drake May, can we get you ready for week two, perhaps, against Seattle?
Ryan, absolutely. Because people will be annoyed that they didn't get, if they had tickets to the game in week one or whatever, they'll be annoyed they didn't see Drake May. But if he plays from weeks two to 17. Well, okay, fine. So, you know, they'd be mad watching the game and not seeing him. But you know what I mean? Like, if it's week 2 to 17, if Drake May is the starter, that's perfectly fine. I think everybody would be okay with that.
Yeah, but that almost feels like it's such semantics that you're getting, like, so cute with it.
Right.
Then I'm kind of like, what are we doing? If he was ready for week two, throw him in week one, get him more experience.
Sure, and we can be annoyed at them for doing that week one, but then it's made up for by the fact that we get to see 16 weeks of him.
We'll be annoyed for week one.
I will be annoyed week one. Absolutely. And that week three, even four. Like, I think if it's early enough, you know, there will be people who will get over it because Drake May is now your starter, and he's going to be the starter the rest of the year, and you're going to be able to judge him week to week and see what kind of future this franchise is going to have with him, and that's what all people really want right now. You know, they want to know. They want to be able to see. They want to be there for the development of it, and if he's good enough to win games with them right now, win the games right now. There's no reason not to. So that's sort of where I am. I think that performance last night put a lot of other people there, too.
This is what I don't get. So the text line just coming in, it's going to be Mac Jones 2.0. What about,
I mean,
this
if he has the same rookie year as Mac Jones, I'll be thrilled.
Okay, what makes you think that this is Mac Jones 2.0? When you watched that kid last night, what about it? Was it incompletion that he had to Javon Baker?
That was very Mac
Jones. Did that feel Mac Jones?
Yes, I feel like Mac had a lot of those.
I think that ball doesn't travel the same way coming out of Mac Jones.
Maybe it
does. All due respect.
Maybe it does. It was like a 50-yard pass.
I also don't think rookie Mac Jones attempts that throw in his, what series was that for him? Overall, in all of, sorry to put you on the spot, in all of preseason, we're like in single digits of the series that he's ever played in the NFL in
single
a game-like
for sure
situation.
Single digits, yes.
I don't know. I think this kid is really different. I think he's very different from Mac Jones. Somebody just put in the Twitch chat, and you can say whether you believe in this stuff or not, but they said, I'll say it again, Mac played tennis, individual sport. He wasn't an only child. He has a sister. I have to correct you there. And was a model. Drake got his ass beat by his brothers every day. That creates a different person. There is something about that.
It's true.
I'm not saying that, like,
it does create a different person. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be better or worse at a sport if you have brothers.
I think it changes your personality and how you carry yourself on the field and in the locker room a little bit. I absolutely buy into that. How coachable you are. You're the youngest of that family, like, where everybody is a stellar athlete. That is a little bit of something.
I mean,
that is a real thing.
Mega was a demon lacrosse coach. She has siblings.
Me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm a middle child. That's why I talk on the radio for a living, because I need so much attention.
Me. No, the other Mego. Mego.
I'm trying to look at other famous athletes that were only children.
Matt Jones isn't an only child. That's what I'm saying. He has a sister.
That's true. But, like, you know, it's different. Like, Tom Brady had sisters, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't the same thing as Drake May and his brothers. I understand what you're saying. And maybe there's something to that. I don't know. I think that there's definitely a big personality difference.
What was the story he told
May
us?
And, which one?
Were you on? You were on with us when he told us a story about his brother breaking both his arms in the driveway.
Yes, I do remember that. The one time we interviewed him, he told us some story. They were doing something in the driveway. I forget. Yes,
they were I thought that they were playing hoops, but I don't remember
that could
how.
Be.
And it was, they got physical, and he fell and broke both his arms. I'm not saying that that's going to make him, you know, like a top 10 quarterback or anything, but I do think that personality stuff, like, these are not the same kind of guy. And I liked Mac Jones. He was very nice with us. They're not the same kind of guy.
They're definitely
not. And we were playing 2-on-2 basketball in the driveway one weekend, probably after one of my games on a Friday night. And we were playing basketball, And Bo, he got knocked down, to say the least, by my oldest brother, Luke, and ended up breaking both his elbows at the same time. But only had to wear a sling on one of them. So he was a senior, senior in high school, and had to navigate that. So
Drake May's like, okay, I know this offensive line is bad, but I've watched one of my brothers have both his elbows protruding out of his skin after playing 2-on-2 basketball.
He's basically a Gronkowski.
His
brothers,
okay.
Bo and Luke, who then jumped into the General Lee and drove through the air. My God.
That's not okay.
It's unbelievable.
How those May boys going to flap their wings out of this one.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Lottie lined up. Let's get to some of these phone calls here. Steve is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hey,
and congratulations, Mago.
Thank you so much.
Congrats,
and, you know, don't pussyfoot around with this kid like they did with Mac Jones. Don't baby him. Put him in week one. Let him play. He looked good last night. He was playing a better team. He looked better than Jacoby. He didn't throw an interception. You know, give this kid the full Monty. Let him do it.
Okay.
Isn't that like a male stripper thing?
That's exactly
what that means. Full Monty is what he's talking about.
Well, Steve, he said don't, you know what, around. Blank Willow.
don't pussyfoot around it?
Yes.
Say that. That's
can you? Term. I didn't know if you could or not.
Yeah,
I didn't know if
like,
you had to dump it.
When I was little, my grandma, my sweet grandma, would always be like, wipe that puss off your face.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ugh.
Okay. Anyway. They played Mac Jones week one, I guess is the point here. I mean, pussyfooting around or not. Mac Jones did play week one. They didn't do that with him. They put him out there week one. It was at the very end of the preseason when they finally decided to, but ultimately he was their starter. Cam Newton got cut, and it was Mac Jones to infinity, and that's the way that first season went. 617-779-7937. Let's go to another Steve, Steve in Fall River, who I'm sure has some colorful insults for me today. Hi, Steve.
I have no colorful insults for you, and I apologize for my insult.
You apologize to other bookworms for comparing him to me. I heard that one already, Steve.
Okay.
Go on.
All right. the fact that Drake May could beat out Jacoby Brissett is no earth-shattering thing. Of course, we all want to come up with, I've heard come put him in week six or something when they come home. Somebody's been spouting that one, week one, whatever. We heard he's raw talent. He's a low-budget Josh Allen, and he's a project. Okay, let him get out there and work. But at some point, you have to realize the team is bereft of each offensive line and other talent. The move on this team was not to spend $8 million on Jacoby Brissett. It was to leave that pick and turn that into more picks. And I hope I'm wrong. Believe me, I do not want to be right up. But if they're wrong on this guy, that's how these other teams in the AFC took 20 years to come up with a quarterback. Buffalo took 20 years. The Jets may not even have one yet, 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins took 20 years. This is what happens to you. You pull the trigger too early. I'm telling you right now, Mac Jones would be a better solution for this team with another quarterback you pick later in the draft and another first-round pick and another pick you could have got.
Okay, that's enough of that. I think that Mac Jones would not be a better fit for this team because this team is the same as last year's team. Like, you have roughly the same, a worse offensive line because Trent Brown's gone. I mean, you have a worse offensive line and a wide receiver group that's TBD, but I think is roughly in the same ballpark as what you had last year. And we saw what Mac Jones was able to do with that last year. If you had put some other type of roster together and really, you know, it bolstered the line and bolstered the wide receiver group, then maybe you could give me an argument about how Mac Jones could flourish with that as opposed to a first-year player who's still figuring out the game. Maybe. But not with this team. Not with this team at all. Like, that's out of the question as far as I'm concerned.
And also, if they had kept Mac Jones and they let Bill Belichick walk, then who are they going to blame everything on?
That's a good
point. Bill? Right now, they're clearly saying that it was Bill and Mac who were the issues. And I say they ownership in the front office because they haven't changed a whole lot else.
Yeah, that's true. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls and we'll do a quick Red Sox minute next.
It's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Mego. Nah, you're right. It's weird.
Back here, Jones and Mego. No Jones, Arcan in the big chair. We'll get right back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Look at you in the big chair.
It's nice being in the big chair.
You like it over there? I hate that seat.
I had to adjust it a little bit.
Did the microphone fall over on you?
It has not yet. Okay. Not yet. I'm doing okay over here.
I don't know
so
how
far.
You work that magic, because when I was there 2 weeks ago, it was falling on me every day, and then I broke it at one point, couldn't talk anymore. It was a good show.
Yeah. If you're wondering, by the way, why it's so hazy out.
Okay, I was just asking this. Today and yesterday, I'm like, is there wildfires up in Canada?
That's
again
exactly
or something?
It. Yes.
Is that what it is?
That's exactly right.
Oh, I was
smoke
kidding.
From Canadian wildfires continue to drift into the northeast, causing unhealthy air for certain people. And you can see, I mean, you can see it in the, if you're watching on Twitch, we cut to our camera out over the Mass Pike, and you can see it. I mean, you can barely see Boston from here.
I think it's just Wiggy in the parking lot.
It could be. It could certainly be. He's not on the clock anymore.
What is with those Canadians and their wildfires?
I don't know.
I understand it in Southern California, and this could sound incredibly unintelligent. Is it that dry up in Canada?
I guess.
I mean, it's like a desert down in Southern California. What are they doing up there in Canada?
I don't know. Not watching Jones and I sing Boys to Men, that's for sure.
We're not cleaning up our brush.
No. 617-779-7937. Let's get right back to your phone calls. Regarding the Patriots, Jimmy's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good, Jimmy. What's up?
Hey, so like on the topic of Drake May versus Jacoby Brissett, after watching that preseason game, like I'm pretty much on the train that Drake May is almost ready to go. But the thing is, I don't really see a reason to just throw him to the Wolves in week one. I feel like you may as well throw Jacoby Brissett out there and get a feel for how the wide receiver group is going to look against legitimate corners, how the offensive line is going to look against legitimate pass rushers. And if they surprise people and they actually look pretty good, then at that point, you know, you have Drake May taking, you know, number one reps in practice. You continue to develop them. They continue their plan. And if the supporting cast looks better than expected, then you can throw them out there and actually try and win football games. But if it goes as expected and Jacoby Brissett is getting absolutely torched in the pocket, the wide receivers aren't getting separation, they're dropping passes, I don't really see a reason to throw him out there and have like a rookie season that Joe Burrow did.
All right, fair enough, Jimmy, but what if Brissett's out there throwing interceptions? You know, like what if he's out there throwing picks and you don't really get a chance to see what these wide receivers look like because Brissett can't get him the ball? Like, hypothetically, again, I feel like I have to announce that caveat now after some social media here, but that's sort of where I'm at. Like, if you're concerned that May's not going to be able to lift all these guys, okay, that may be the case. But what if Brissett's actively bringing things down? Like, what if he's out there? What if he looks like he looked in that game? You going to justify keeping him out there? I mean, you're not learning much else about the wide receiver. I don't feel like I learned anything about the wide receivers or the offensive line or anything while Brissett was out there. The O-line looked as bad as it did before. And the wide receivers are what they are. I don't think there's much else you can really glean from it. And then you add in his performance, and it's all sort of like, okay, well, you know, thanks for that. This is maybe the guy who should be taking the backup reps.
And Jimmy's not alone in making that Joe Burrow comparison about what happened to him his rookie season. But I find that to be like such an odd cautionary tale, because ultimately then Joe Burrow's in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And also, you know who you at least have an idea of who you have in terms of potential in your quarterback position. So what do? You go get Ja'Marr Chase the next draft. I don't understand. Like, of course, you don't want that to happen to your rookie quarterback. But
right.
I've seen other people put out there, oh, this is the kind of risk you're taking. And that's true. But it's not like Joe Burrow is now a ruined man.
No, he's gotten hurt again then
he
since
has,
then, but yeah.
But not because of what happened to him in his rookie season.
No, and now he dresses like the real Slim Shady.
Well, Meg, the hair is bad.
The hair is bad. Meg is in Rhode Island. Hi, Meg.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Meg.
Okay, so I just want to talk about Drake May and the comparison to Mac Jones. Besides the obvious differences on the field between them both, I think the biggest difference is evident during May's post-practice and post-game interviews. He just seems to have a better handle on everything than Jones ever did. And he definitely has a better overall attitude, I feel.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that May has a more palatable attitude, that's for sure. I think that that only goes so far when we're talking
about
winning
that?
Football games. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has a bad attitude, but I'd take him on my team, you know, as far as the quarterback's concerned.
Yeah, he was known as kind of a dink from when he was young.
So. Yeah, his whole family hates him. Like, everybody hates Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's no Aaron Rodgers fans, but he's still a good quarterback, and he still won a Super Bowl and a bunch of MVPs and all that. So there's something to that, I agree. But let's also remember that, you know, we're all rooting for Drake May to have even a sliver of the success that Mac Jones had his rookie year, right? I mean, I don't think anybody's expecting him to put up those kind of numbers.
I don't care as much about, like, the success rookie season compared to Mac Jones one-to-one, because I don't think that the situations are that comparable. With what they put around, or at least tried to put around Mac Jones, and the experience of the coaching staff and the experience of his offensive coordinator working within that system, and basically just taking the Brady playbook and paring it down a little bit and giving it to Mac Jones.
Sure.
Like, I just don't think it's the same situation at all, other than they're playing in the same stadium.
But at the time when it was happening, people weren't like, oh, Mac Jones is so good. It's because of the coaching and the Nelson Aguilar and, you know, whatever else. Like, that wasn't, at the time, that's not what people were saying. People were high on Mac Jones that rookie year, and they were high on Bill Belichick, and it seemed like this was going to be the next generation of Patriots football. They'd found their guy. There was no doubt they'd found their guy. The next year, it all fell apart. It all just completely became undone. And I think that that's, you know, whether or not Drake May does it all himself, or whether he plays this year, or whether anything, I mean, that's all to be determined. But I think that ultimately, at the time, people were looking at Mac Jones and the year that he put together and thinking, this is the guy, he's going to be here for a decade at least, and this is going to be the future of Patriots football.
I do think there was some credit in real time for Josh McDaniels, which is a reason why he went and got the head coaching job immediately after that, and a second shot at that when he was in a weird place with most of the league. Are you going to read the Aaron Rodgers book?
I did not know there was one.
Wait, you don't know this?
I didn't know that there was
one. Oh, my God.
So he's writing his own book?
No. The Midday Show, and I don't have the guy's name in front of me, the author. They had the author on, and I want to listen to it. I haven't gotten a chance to. So this guy is writing a book about Aaron Rodgers, and it's like Out of the Darkness.
It was Ian O'Connor.
Ian O'Connor,
right.
The Secrets of Aaron Rodgers or whatever. He interviewed his family, so they have the family side of it. And all about why he and his family don't talk anymore.
Olivia Munn played into it, right?
Yeah,
she's mentioned in it.
His drama with some other people and like why he's one of these people who seems to be one of these people who, like, do you know people like this? They just cut people out.
Yeah.
They're like, you've wronged me. You're cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's like not even a grudge. It's like you're dead to me, essentially.
Right.
I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Either that or I'm going to listen to a podcast where somebody reads a lot of the excerpts.
I don't know. I don't like that he's got a book out while he's still playing.
Can we get Aaron Rodgers?
It's not him, though.
What?
Arcan, he's not part of
it. No, I'm not saying. I'm saying I don't think they should write. You shouldn't write a book about somebody while he's still, like, after he retires as a retrospective, sure, but his career's still ongoing, and he's still doing a bunch of weird stuff right now.
I think he's
opened the door. So it's an interesting time to do it, I guess.
I think he's opened the door that he's so weird that it's all out there.
That's what ayahuasca did for me.
I think he's weird.
Yeah, he's
no,
a
I think pooping a little hole in the floor is totally normal.
The sensation of feeling 100 different hands on my body.
I mean,
that's right.
Who wouldn't want that? Tim is in Hanover before the break. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I want to say I'm hoping. I'm just like you, Arcan. I was not on May. I wanted
Marvin Harrison.
Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I want to be a May guy. I want him to be the guy for this team. They just got to let him play and just tell him, hey, if you think you're going to get whacked, you see something coming, throw the ball away. I mean, do whatever you got to do to not get hurt until they get the parts and pieces. But he's got to play to get the knowledge and to get the skills down. Otherwise, you'll never know, and then we'll find out one way or another, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that we'll never know. Thanks for the call, Tim. We'll know eventually because he'll get enough reps to get out there, assuming he doesn't get hurt. But I'd rather expedite this process a little bit. I think we all would. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll reset on the big Q at 2. We got some Red Sox news to get to as well. You thought James Paxton was a scrap heap. Wait till we see what we've got for you coming to save the day in this rotation. That's all coming up right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.